I think, I mean, when it comes to guests on board, it's a tricky one because obviously, people are exhausted, there's a lot going on, but helping each other, especially like interdepartments, if you see the girls struggling inside, giving them a hand, and vice versa. We had a couple of girls coming out, and it's like when the guests were ashore, they'd come out and help us, polish rails and stuff like that. And it just helps everybody bonding. But we also used to do a lot of We used to play a lot of games with the guests, which was also extremely important because we'd set up a volleyball net ashore and we'd get the guests to come and join us, and we'd challenge them to a game. And I think it's important for owners of the boat, especially, to see that their crew are happy and they're bonding and they're having a good time, because it also it gives them joy, it makes their time there a lot more happy.
Well, I mean, and the reality is that if the crew is not really bonding, that shows, and that
No,
their
absolutely.
experience is not going to be good, or as good as it could be, because there's always that tension energy around them. It's like, oh yeah, you can tell they're not really in a happy place. They're pretending, to be okay around us, but you can't fake it, because it shows energetically, and people can pick up on that.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, I know that you're under constant tension, there's a lot of stress going on. You just gotta find experimental and creative ways to make it fun. And I know that can be difficult, but
Oh, you
it all
talked
works.
about anxiety, and that you felt anxious, and that luckily you had a girlfriend on board where you were able to just kind of release some of that and just vocalize it, I guess. How would you have liked that to be handled? Like, mental health is a big issue. And it seems like we're talking a lot about it, but to be honest, we can talk way more about it. And I'm glad that it is something that the yachting industry is opening up more and more and more about. And as we open up about, we also are opening about the fact that mental health in men is the biggest issue, because the suicidal percentage is not woman, it's man. So, yeah, what comes up for you as I say this?
Yeah, I mean, as a business and life coach, I take a spiritual and a holistic approach with my clients as well, if they're open to it, and just implement things like meditation, mindfulness, and things like journaling and stuff like that. Because especially as men, if you're not going to vocalize it to somebody and get that out, it's just going to sit in you as poison. And if you can just at least sit with yourself and process that health in a healthy way, it's going to do you the world of good. And I know some days when I was on the boat, if my partner wasn't like in the cabin when I had time off something, I would try and meditate. And sometimes like a quick tea break where you've got 15 minutes and you fit in a quick meditation, it can feel like a mini vacation, just to it doesn't only just relax you and just bring you back to a healthy equilibrium, but it also increases your cognitive ability and helps your performance in the long run.
Yeah, because it makes you present. So when you're present, you can be focused and you can actually deliver better. I have a question. Like, you being on a 72 meter, what was the access to support? Like, what was your support system on board? And I'm not talking your girlfriend, I'm talking the reality of like your captain or head of department saying, hey, if you need help, here's a list of people, or come talk to me. Like, how was that explore in that last vessel, or in any vessel that you've been? Was that even a thing where there was like an actual support system where it's like, hey guys, if anybody's not feeling good and you don't want to talk to us about it, please look at this directory, or whatever that may be. Was there a shore support that you could contact if that happened to you? Like, what was the reality about that?
Yeah, I suppose it's not really. Hey, I'm trying to think. It's a good question. I don't remember that being a case on any of the boats I worked on, but it's a good idea. I think the captains and the department heads, they'll suggest that you can speak to them, or you can speak to the captain, or if needs be, speak to a designated person ashore or whatever, but it's not an easy reality. You know, you don't really want to go and just talk to somebody that you don't feel comfortable with.
And I guess that's why it's so important to create that safe environment of, like, if you do daily meetings and on every meeting you say, hey, how are you? How are you feeling? Anybody wants to talk? You know, like, this is a safe container for everybody to be, you know, and becoming more like with the mindset of, like, we're non-judgmental. We're here to support each other. Then that environment, you know, becomes stronger, that container. And then people will be more than likely to say, hey, to the head of department or the captain, this is actually happening to me. You know, absolutely. Because they will feel there's safety there. Because if you don't feel safe, you're not going to talk. It's just human nature, you know?
Yeah,
so absolutely. Those little meetings is something so simple, yet it has a massive effect on what that system, support system, could actually become on board. Because, I mean, I don't think I ever been on a boat, except maybe one. And it was because I just had a really good bonding with the captain, where I knew I could go talk to him. And he would tell me, anything happens, you can always talk to me. But he was the only captain in 14 years who actually said to me, you can talk to me. You come talk to me. The rest, I don't think they ever made me feel that I could potentially go. They assume I knew I could go talk to them. But assuming is not really telling somebody, hey, you can actually come speak to me, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think that it's a bit of a hard one. I think what I implement also with shoreside managers and business owners is, you know, having a Monday meeting when they all come into a boardroom and stuff like that. It's imperative to not only, you know, allocate, you know, what's going to be happening the next week and, you know, point fingers at what everyone needs to do. We do what's called a trip report, where you actually, you know, ask everybody what you got up to on the weekend, you know, get to know the lives of those individuals. What are you actually like, what fulfills you? What do you do in your spare time when you're not working? And not only does that, you know, let all the crew get to know each other better, but it also starts off meetings in a fun and authentic way, instead of, you know, arriving at your deck meetings or crew meetings or whatever, and it's just department heads pointing fingers and telling you what to do.
And do you feel like on all your career, like you taking courses, you know, to develop your skills and your licenses, do you feel that in that educational system, is there a lack of implementation of learning skills of being a leader, of learning skill how to hold space for others, or how to support them? And I'm not saying you have to become a psychologist or a counselor. I'm saying just have the basic tools. So if somebody comes, you can just guide them to it, right? Is that something that you were taught in school or not really?
No, and I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to target now. You know, I realize there's a huge gap in the market for yacht crew that, you know, spend their whole entire career on board without knowing their next move. And then all of a sudden they leave the boats because they're done with it and they have no idea what they want to do. So I help crew, you know, set up a lifestyle ashore whilst they're still on the boats and implement tools and techniques that they can use to help them, you know, build a future from working on the boats. And I think hours of rest is a huge thing on the boats. I think, you know, crew never feel like they have enough time. And a lot of the crew, you know, they're trying to increase their skill levels for the yacht life, you know, especially in the deck department. They're trying to get their OOW, they're trying to get their masters, they're trying to move up the ladder. But one thing that I specifically focused on a lot of my time was self-development, you know. I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on self-development and, you know, doing courses and training and going on retreats on my holidays and reading books whenever I could, just so that I had the knowledge to leave the industry and do something else. And I think it's selfish of me to keep all that information to myself because I've learned so much. And I think that's mostly the reason why I want to try to give back to not just the yacht crew, but other, you know, budding entrepreneurs, business leaders, and managers, and try help them get those skills. Because I think not enough people focus on self-development now. And
it's pretty much the number one skill that is lacking in the industry, self-development. And what people don't understand, especially as a head of department, is like, how can you manage other people when you don't know how to manage yourself? Because self-development comes down to management, yourself, your emotions, your environment, how am I reacting versus responding or responding versus reacting? And having the tools in order to actually navigate your emotional roller coaster, because we all have them, and your anxiety and maybe depression and whatever may come your way. All that is handled when you actually take time to know yourself, because that's what self-development is getting to know yourself at the end of the day. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
I think so many people have gone through so many trials in their life, and they sit with this poor me attitude, you know, and they think they're not worthy of, you know, taking that next step or, you know, growing into this new lifestyle. But with those trials comes a lot of lessons that other people haven't learned. And I think it's important to share those with others. I mean, just this last year, we've gone through a hell of a lot of, you know, experiences that were hard, but it's made us better coaches, because, you know, we've learned the lessons that we needed to learn to make it through those times.
Absolutely. Before we go, I want to talk about Movember. So I know it's not November, but I have always find it so interesting that, you know, November comes, all the men have their beers, all this stuff. And I just always wonder, like, do they even know why they're doing that? Because it is because of mental health for men. You know, it's about creating awareness around suicidal and mental health for men and all that. And I just, you know, I was talking to one guy and he said to me, well, you know, it's just a time that I can get scruffy. And, you know, it's obviously they want to raise money. And I always wonder, like, how are they even raising money? They're not talking about it. They're not, you know, sharing the links. Do they even have meetings about why they're deciding to grow their beer? You know, like, tell me a little bit about your experiences with Movember.
Oh, geez, I don't really have any. And so, I mean, I've always grown a beard, and I think it's quite funny because a lot of guys use Movember as a chance to, you know, try grow like a ridiculous mustache. I've had my go at trying to grow something ridiculous myself. But, you know, a lot of guys, especially like on my last boat, you know, especially in the industry, you have to be clean shaven all the time. And I got the owner of my boat to pretty much agree to allow me to have a beard, and a lot of the other crew follows suit. But those that didn't definitely had a go during Movember. But yeah, I can guarantee none of them knew why they were doing it. I suppose, yeah, I'm not one to do it every year myself, but I've never really known too much about it. Although I know there are some sites that go more into detail and do funding, which is fantastic.
Well, my advice to you guys, if you are watching this and you do decide to do the Movember thing, at least bring up the fact that, hey, do you know why we're growing a beer? Is because mental health for men. And check out their website. I'll put a link below the video so you can actually educate yourself of the movement that is actually Movember. So what's your advice for captains and head of departments that may be watching this and, you know, they're kind of curious on, how could I be better? How could I make a safe container for my crew to want to feel comfortable to come talk to me? What's your advice for them to create that container?
Well, I think, you know, and I see a lot of crew, especially again on the deck department, just because, you know, that the deck department has a general progression towards captaincy. And a lot of them tick off the boxes and, you know, go up the ranks, but they never actually learn the required skills or the necessary skills to get them to that position. So it's just a title, you know, and I think a captain is just a title, but it's your crew that make you a leader. And it's important to respect them first and know where they are at, you know. I've seen a lot of crew be tyrants on the boats and, you know, walk around like they've got into that position so everybody else must just listen to what they have to say, with a do what I say, don't do what I do attitude. And I think that's definitely the wrong way to go about it. I've been on other boats where, you know, the captain's the first one out. If he's got free time, he's out on deck with the boys and he's leading by example. And that's just for a crew. And I know, like, in my early years as like a junior deckhand, seeing somebody like that of that status, you know, coming out there and doing the grunge work with the boys, like, I just had so much more respect for them. And I think from a captain's side, just getting to know your crew a little bit more is just, it makes them feel comfortable. Like what we spoke about earlier, you know, if you really do have your crew's best interests at heart and you want them to come and speak to you, then you have to allow them to get comfortable with you. And you need to know them as a person, not just a member of the crew.
Right. Perfect. And I just kind of wonder, just popped in my head, which I think I was talking about before, when it came to your anxiety, what did that look like for you as a man, right? Because on the show, we've talked a lot about women having anxiety and they have shared what that actually felt in their body. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I think it was mostly due to just exhaustion and stuff. I know my partner suffered from adrenal fatigue and stuff like that, so complete burnout. But I wasn't far behind. I mean, if we had stayed on the boat longer, I think I would have suffered from extreme burnout as well. Just I think it's just from the lack of rest, you know, not having that time to actually breathe. And it's that continuous go, go, go attitude, which can be really rewarding. And it's a good aptitude to have, I think, you know, that especially when you come into the real world, there's so many people that sit back and take life as it comes instead of, you know, going for their goals. And I think a lot of yacht crews show that ambition to drive towards what they want to achieve, which is fantastic. But I think there's got to be a healthy balance, you know, on work, and there needs to be a cut off time from work where you actually transition into your rest period and spending time with the relationships on board and your lifestyle, doing your workout, your exercise, eating right, and just maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Because if you don't, it can really just, it can be make or break on the boat.
So basically, sure. Your anxiety was so it got so out of hand that it was turning into a massive burnout, pretty much. that's what it sounded like. So before it did get out of hand, was it the anxiety of wanting to perform, to be better, to do the more and more and more? Was that the energy behind it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think on the boats, you know, there's a fine line between wanting to achieve and not having the choice, you know. Sometimes it's just not enough manpower on the boat to achieve the goals that the owner wants. You know, if the owner wants to have a beach party followed by like a barbecue here, then he wants to have a disco on the helipad, and you've got to arrange all of this with minimum crew. You simply don't have a choice. And I think going back to your last question, you know, how captains can be better, is also managing the owner's expectations. Because When the owner wants something and the captain just says, yes, absolutely, we can do that, it looks good for him. But then he turns around and tells the crew to do everything, and he goes back to the office and doesn't do anything. And he doesn't realize how much time it actually takes the crew to do things. I remember we had a big problem with that on our last boat. And then it comes down to the point where the captain's told the owner.
Like overcommitting.
Sorry?
Overcommitting.
Exactly, yeah. And that leads to burnout, because I remember we would just work hours and hours and end. Like, I'd start at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd end at 9 o'clock at night, and I hadn't had a break the whole day. But it was, part of it was like, yes, I'm committed to doing a good job. But the other part was, you know, I don't have a choice. If I go down to have a rest, nobody's going to come cover my shift because everybody's doing something. So that's where you lead to serious problems.
Yeah. Absolutely. I do agree with you. And maybe captains have a different perspective on what we just talked about, but the reality is that there is a massive overcommitting from captains to owners, to guests, without really checking with the head of departments, hey, is this something doable? Like, how are we looking? How's your crew feeling? You know, like, do you have, everybody's on the same, mentally okay, physically okay? Because it's like, at the end of the day, you, even though a lot of people say, oh, we get paid so well, yeah, and not really. Because when you divide it in hours, no, we don't get paid that well. And especially with the time and all the stuff that we have to do to make, you know, these incredible one-of-a-kind memories, you know. And it's an amazing industry, but there is definitely a lot that can be improved that will allow people to have sustainable careers versus I'm going to go in, I'm going to basically kill myself, and then I'm going to have to leave to recoup. And then because I don't know what to do, I'm going to have to go back and do it all over again. Because this is the cycle that many, many crew find themselves in. And this is why they don't know how to transition out of the industry, because they didn't know how to have a sustainable career in the first place. So how could they transition out? It's a very vicious cycle, and it only changes when crew members individually choose differently, you know, and become aware of what's okay, what's not okay. And I think, you know, us talking about it, hopefully it gives you guys a little bit of curiosity of where you're at, where you've been, and where you actually want to go, and what you need to do now. And I think self-development is key to start to understand all that and to, and to move forward.
Don't wait till
Say that again, sorry.
I said, don't wait till it's too late. A lot of crew, like I said earlier, they wait till they've left the industry and then they don't know what to do. You know, I know a lot of crew don't get enough time off, but when you do, you know, don't just go sit on your ass for a couple of days. Like, you know, do a course, do training, do something that's in line with your goals and your future, because that will come in handy when you eventually want to, you know, get back to shore. And that might happen sooner rather than you think. You know, you might meet somebody, something might happen, unfortunately, touch wood, but you know, you never know when you might be forced to go ashore. And if you're in that position and you don't have a plan, it can be very overwhelming.
So how can people work with you, Craig?
At the moment I'm running a program I'm doing one-on-one mentoring. So I've got a lot lined up this year. I've also got a podcast coming out called Ship to Shore, which is in the process, and that's going to allow, I want to educate crew by interviewing ex-yachties that have left the industry and made a successful transition and now have businesses. And I want to interview them, see what they're actually doing so that other crew can listen, see what's possible, see what they need to do in order to move in that direction. And I want to break down the elements that are needed to live that kind of lifestyle. You can find me on Escape Scout everywhere. And I'm trying to offer as much, you know, just try to give as much information that I've learned over the last years. Like I said, doing a lot of courses, training, workshops and all that. So I do offer one-on-one coaching at the moment, and that's exclusive for clients. It's not just for anyone. You know, I want to meet the people. I want to see that people aren't just going to, you know, use my time and waste it. I want people that are serious about actually starting something and they're driven to succeed and achieve their goals. So for anybody else, I'm developing a workshop that people can do at their own pace. So that will come out in the next couple of months. But a lot of exciting things happening this year.
Awesome. Just follow the link below to get in contact with Craig. And if you want to, develop yourself and learn the tools that you need in order to transition successfully out of yachting, then he's your guy. And is there anything else you want to share with us before we go?
No, I think that's it, man. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. It's opened my eyes. It's reminded me all the things that, you know, got me out of yachting in the first place, and also made me passionate about helping those crew that are still there and, you know, lost in their ways in a sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, we ex-crew, we forget what it was like to actually be crew. You know, we just look at the highlights and then we're like, actually, no. This and that and that and that and that. And doing this show has brought so much back to my memory, you know, like doing different shows with different people. Like I never, for example, I never thought I was harassed sexually. And then I was like, oh shit, I was. Like, that is so fucked up. So yeah, just being reminded of other people's experiences really remind you of your own. That sometimes we just like delete it because it's easier to do that than to actually, allow them to be and just transform them. Okay, well, that's a wrap, people. And to get in contact with Craig, just follow the link below. And that's it. Follow him on Instagram. The link is down below as well. And if you have something to share, wisdom to pass on, then click on the email and send me a message so we can get you on the show. Okay, cool. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.